Welcome to Afterglow. I'm your host, Mark Chilla. This week, we're saluting alto saxophonist and bebop pioneer Charlie Parker in honor of what would have been his 100th birthday. Now, why am I saluting a saxophonist on a show about jazz vocalists? Well, I would argue that no instrumentalist had as much of an influence on jazz singing as Charlie Parker did. His lightning-fast, improvisatory feats inspired a new generation of scat singers in the 1940s, like Ella Fitzgerald. And after he died in 1955, his story was told and retold by even more singers, creating vocalese versions of his famous solos. This hour, we'll explore the nexus between Parker's bebop style and the voice. It's Charlie Parker with Voices, coming up next on Afterglow.
Reminisce with me and think about the bird. Remember everything he did and all the things you heard. Oh, don't it just amaze you or get you down inside? Think of how he had to live and then the way he died. Life was so unkind, 'cause now should have been his time. So be body lia boo bada and do it wee boo shap. Now there is a tune that it moved me. And there was a tune that really grooved me. Oh, yes-siree, yes-siree, I heard the bird. He was certainly making history down on 52nd Street. The musicians were scratching their heads and going on. You should have dug them. They wonder how the yard could know it's not fast, nor time steady swinging. Oh, yes-siree, I'm sure the feet were readily, steadily patting away when he started to play. Charlie Parker, a whole lot of soul. Charlie Parker, music was like he could sit around and think of masterpieces, then hit up and write and play them. He was born in Kansas City and it certainly was a pity that he never made lots of dough before it came time to go. But he left a lot of swing in the air. Won't you listen, play a Charlie boy. Go ahead and fill the people's heart with joy. We love to listen, oh yes, we love to listen to you, Charlie, did we do? Although we know you're gone, all the memories that you left behind shall linger on. Blow, go ahead and blow, blow, yes, blow your blues away. We listen to everything you've ever played. That was where your specialty, but on the blues you got so close to me. Hey, you were born to be a master of your heart. Blow, Jane Moody. I thought he'd be so awfully close to me until I heard his message and up and set me free. It made me want to linger, want to hang around, a better understanding of this different kind of sound. Back in 42, Bird came to New York and flew my bud blue. Come reminisce with me and think about the Bird. Remember everything he did, all the things you heard. Oh, don't adjust the measure, get you down the side. Think of how he had to live and then the way he died. Life was so unkind, 'cause now would have been his time. Now was his time.
Singer Eddie Jefferson, retelling the story of Charlie Parker's life with his vocalese version of the 1945 Charlie Parker tune, Now's the Time. Eddie Jefferson was a vocalese innovator. He was one of the first people to add new lyrics to existing instrumental jazz solos way back in the early 1950s. The recording we just heard, however, came from 1968, off of his album Body and Soul. Now's the Time inspired more than just Jefferson. The jazz vocal group Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross recorded their own vocalese version of it in 1958 with completely different lyrics.
You've heard it every way, a dog will have his day, but when it comes to wailing, dogs ain't got a word to say. So they can do the waiting, cause I ain't hesitating. The future's round the corner, so for now I'm gonna play.
And it's believed that Now's the Time also served as the melodic inspiration for the dance craze, the Hucklebuck, performed by everyone from Frank Sinatra in the 1940s to Chubby Checker in the 1960s. Mark Chilla here on Afterglow. On this show, we're saluting the great Charlie Parker, one of the most influential jazz saxophonists of all time. It's hard to overstate Parker's influence on the jazz world. His lightning-fast bebop improvisatory style redefined jazz in the 1940s, emphasizing speed over swing, dissonance over melody, and solo improvisation over ensemble. Jazz instrumentalists today are completely indebted to Parker, but his influence extended beyond just the jazz instrumental world. This week, I want to focus on how Parker also influenced vocal jazz. But first, I want to focus on how he interacted with vocal jazz. Parker was mainly an instrumental jazz performer. There are very few records where any singing happens. Of course, you have fun little anomalies, like the sung motto in the Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie tune, Salt Peanuts, from 1945.
Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts.
That's Dizzy Gillespie singing. But other than that, tunes that feature Charlie Parker with a singer are few and far between. And the ones that do exist are not necessarily of the best quality. I'll get to that in a bit. Some of Parker's earliest work in the professional jazz world, in fact, was alongside vocalists. He was hired by Earl Hines' fairly progressive big band in 1942, putting him in touch with the young, up-and-coming jazz singer Sarah Vaughan. And the following year, he played saxophone in the orchestra of the baritone vocalist Billy Eckstine. Sadly, the recording ban from 1942 through 1944 means that we have no record of these orchestras. Historian Ted Gioia called the Hines Orchestra one of the most important unrecorded ensembles in the history of jazz. However, one of the earliest recordings we do have of Parker with a vocalist happens to be with Sarah Vaughan, although it was Vaughan alongside a smaller group led by trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie in 1945. Vaughan sang on two sessions with Parker and Gillespie in May of that year, and this next song is from the second session, recorded for the Continental label. On it, we'll hear, clear as a bell, from the beginning, Charlie Parker's impressive alto saxophone flights. This is Sarah Vaughan, Dizzy Gillespie, and Charlie Parker with the song Mean to Me on Afterglow.
You're mean to me. Why must you be mean to me? Gee, honey, it seems to me you love to see me crying. I don't know why I stay home. Each night when you say you phone, you don't, and I'm left alone, singing the blues and crying. You treat me coldly. Must be great fun to be mean to me. You shouldn't forget, you see, what you mean to me.
Thank you.
God is near, dear. It must be great fun to be mean to me. Gee, honey, why can't you see what you mean to me? Can't you see what you mean to me?
Sarah Vaughan, in 1945, with the Dizzy Gillespie Sextet, featuring Charlie Parker on alto saxophone. That was the Fred Ehlert and Roy Turk song, Mean to Me. Charlie Parker only lived for another decade, and only a few more recordings of his featured singers. There were progressive jazz singers like Dave Lambert and Ella Fitzgerald, who were hip to Parker's new bebop sound, and they were able to translate that sound into the voice. But at the time, modern bebop jazz was outsider, underground art, and jazz pop vocals were definitely mainstream. From a technical standpoint, it took some time for the vocal world to catch up to what Parker was doing. There's a notorious session from 1953, organized by the legendary producer Norman Granz, which pairs Parker up with a group of singers in an effort to promote this underground art to the mass market. It was a great ensemble. Max Roach played drums, Charles Mingus was on the bass, and Gil Evans was in charge of the arrangements. The group of singers, however, on the whole, were not quite capable of reaching Parker's jazz chops. And the result is, let's just say, lamentable. Take a listen.
In the still of the night, as I gaze from my window, at the moon in its light, my thoughts all stray.
The ironic thing about these sessions, called Charlie Parker with Voices, is that some of the most notable modern jazz singers were present. Annie Ross was one of the sopranos, and the vocal parts were arranged by Dave Lambert. The rest of the singers in the choir, however, were no Ross or Lambert. And the general inability to sing modern jazz among most singers at that time was part of the reason the innovative vocal jazz group Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross formed only as a trio. They were among the only singers at the time capable of singing like Charlie Parker played. Another singer who could tackle bebop was Buddy Stewart. Stewart was Dave Lambert's old singing partner from their time together back in Gene Krupa's orchestra in the mid-1940s. The two were early adopters of bebop, and they were among the first to try to translate that sound into vocal music. In 1949, Stewart and Lambert actually got a chance to perform with Charlie Parker at his frequent perch, the Royal Roost, a jazz club in New York. Bird, as he was commonly known, made frequent performances there, which were also broadcast and recorded. Here's a recording of Charlie Parker, Buddy Stewart, and Dave Lambert performing the song Deedle on Afterglow.
Bop,
Live at the Royal Roost nightclub in February 1949. That was jazz singers Dave Lambert and Buddy Stewart with the song Deedle, performed alongside the bebop master himself, Charlie Parker. Unfortunately, Buddy Stewart died in a car accident a year after this recording. By the late 1940s, Charlie Parker's bebop style was beginning to be noticed, if not entirely understood, and not just by jazz fans, but by mainstream audiences too. There's even some acknowledgement of the new fad on record. You had the 1947 song My Baby Likes to Bebop, sung by the Nat King Cole Trio and Johnny Mercer for Capitol Records.
I gotta be on the jump, cause my baby likes to bebop, and I like to bebop too. Bobble a bebop, bobble a beboo, the rhythm is off the beaten track, jack.
And in 1949, you even had Frank Sinatra singing the song Bop Goes My Heart for Columbia Records.
Then comes that dizzy spell, bop goes my heart, jumping with rhythm and romance, lit up like a Christmas tree, going around in circles. I ain't the square that I used to be. Something new to shout about.
One of the only mainstream singers to incorporate more specific parts of Parker's style into her music was Ella Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald was one of the few singers at the time who could scat sing as well as an instrumentalist could improvise. And to prove her knowledge of the bebop style, she included a quotation of a Charlie Parker tune in one of her scat solos. Here's the Parker tune Ornithology from 1946, a reference to his nickname, Bird. And here's Ella Fitzgerald in 1947 with the song How High the Moon. Quotations were frequent in bebop solos, a kind of insider referential language traded among those in the know. Ella's inclusion of ornithology within her scat solo of How High the Moon was extra clever. You see, many of Parker's bebop tunes were what the jazz world calls contrafacts, a new melody improvised over the chords of an existing song. Ornithology was a contrafact of How High the Moon. Same chord progression, different melodies. In 1949, Ella Fitzgerald and Charlie Parker got a chance to share the stage in Carnegie Hall. It was part of Norman Granz's Jazz at the Philharmonic concert series, a live showcase of the best jazz talent recorded for posterity. This particular concert on September 18th that year featured Parker, Fitzgerald, as well as trumpeter Roy Eldridge, tenor saxophonist Lester Young, Hank Jones on piano, Ray Brown on bass, and Buddy Rich on drums. Among the tunes that Ella and Bird performed together was How High the Moon, the theme song of the Jazz at the Philharmonic. And during Ella's scat solo, right when she got to the part with the ornithology quotation, Bird took over. Let's listen to that now. Here's Ella Fitzgerald and Charlie Parker live with How High the Moon on Afterglow.
How high the moon is the name of this song. How high the moon, though the words may be wrong, we're singing it because you asked for it. So we're swinging it just for you. Touch the stars, how high the moon, does it reach up to Mars? Though the words may be wrong to this song, we're asking a high, 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 high is the moon. Beep, 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 beep,
Live in Carnegie Hall on September 18th, 1949, that was Ella Fitzgerald and Charlie Parker performing How High the Moon, with quotations of Parker's tune Ornithology, a contrafact of How High the Moon. That recording was part of the Jazz at the Philharmonic concert series. Charlie Parker shared the stage with a few vocalists over the course of his brief career, but was rarely joined in studio. One of the only other vocalists who teamed up with him in the studio was baritone Earl Coleman. Coleman had a rich voice that was reminiscent of Billy Eckstein's, and he in fact sang with Eckstein around the time that Parker also played in that group. Coleman recorded two songs with the Charlie Parker Quartet in Los Angeles in 1947 for the Dial record label. Errol Garner was the pianist in that session, and Red Callender was on bass. Here is Charlie Parker and Earl Coleman with the Shifty Henry tune, Dark Shadows, on Afterglow.
My baby's gone away, where to she didn't say, what am I gonna do? I just can't hide my foolish pride, baby, I'm still in love with you. Why don't you drop a line? They tell me you're doing fine. My days are oh so blue. I just can't hide my foolish pride, baby, I'm still in love with you. Why did you leave? Why make me grieve? Am I to suffer this way? Will I ever breathe a sigh? Please, darling, won't you try to believe me when I say I was wrong? Dark shadows haunting me, nothing but misery. I can't escape, it's so true. I just can't hide my foolish pride, baby, I'm still in love with you.
Singer Earl Coleman and saxophonist Charlie Parker in 1947 with the song Dark Shadows. That recording was made for Dial Records. Another song from the Dial Records sessions that Charlie Parker recorded in the mid-1940s has had a big influence on the world of vocal music. It's his original tune, Yardbird Suite, a completely original composition not based on any other chord progression. Jazz historian Gary Giddens called Yardbird Suite one of Parker's most lyrical melodies, and it just so happens that it's the only melody that Parker wrote original lyrics to, as well. The version of the tune with Parker's lyrics added is often called What Price Love. Earl Coleman was in fact the first person to record this version in 1948, also for Dial Records. And several singers who flew in Bird's orbit, including Sheila Jordan and Carmen McRae, were known to perform this version too. Let's hear Carmen McRae's version of it now. This comes from her 1956 album By Special Request. Here's Carmen McRae with Yardbird Suite on Afterglow.
It's hard to learn how tears can burn one's heart, but that's a thing that I found out. Too late, I guess, 'cause I'm in a mess. My faith has gone. Why lead me on this way? I thought there'd be no price on love, but I had to pay. If I could perform a miracle, I'd revive your thoughts of me. Yet I know that it's hopeless. You could never really care. That's why I despair. I'll go along hoping someday you learn the flame in my heart, dear, forever will burn. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do Shoo-doop-doo, shoo-doop-doo, shoo-doop-doo. If I could perform a miracle, I'd revive your thoughts of me. Yet I know that it's hopeless. You could never really care. That's why I despair. I'll go along hoping someday you learn the flame in my heart, dear, forever will burn.
Carmen McRae in 1955 with Yardbird Suite, a.k.a. What Price Love. Charlie Parker wrote both the music and the lyrics to that song. McRae was evidently performing that song at Carnegie Hall the day Charlie Parker died in 1955. We'll hear a vocalese version of Parker's Yardbird Suite, as well as some other vocalese versions of Parker tunes coming up after a break. Stay with us. I'm Mark Chilla, and you're listening to Afterglow. Welcome back to Afterglow. I'm Mark Chilla. We've been saluting the bebop legend Charlie Parker this hour, and I want to devote the second half of this program to vocalese versions of his tunes. Vocalese is the art of taking an existing instrumental jazz solo, like one of Charlie Parker's legendary alto saxophone solos, and writing new words for that melody. The originators of this art were two partners/rivals, Eddie Jefferson and King Pleasure. Jefferson was primarily a lyricist, and sometimes a singer, whereas Pleasure was primarily a singer, and sometimes a lyricist. Eddie Jefferson's vocalese version of saxophonist James Moody's solo on I'm in the Mood for Love, which he called Moody's Mood for Love, sparked the entire vocalese craze in 1953, although it was made popular in the version sung by King Pleasure.
Music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me your slave.
Come and do with me any little thing you want to. Anything, baby, just let me get next to you. Am I insane?
Around the same time, many of Charlie Parker's melodies started to get the vocalese treatment as well. One of the first was his 1948 blues-inspired tune, Parker's Mood. Both Eddie Jefferson and King Pleasure recorded vocalese versions of Parker's Mood in the early 1950s. Jefferson's version came first, originally recorded in 1950, although I'll play a recording from a little later, in 1956. That one often goes by the title Bless My Soul, which is the song's opening line. King Pleasure's version was recorded at the tail end of 1953, and that one has a bunch of references to Parker's hometown of Kansas City. The odd thing about Pleasure's version is that the lyrics have oblique references to death and funerals, and it was recorded just over a year before Parker's own untimely death at the age of 34, brought about by a life of heroin addiction, which makes Pleasure's song a bit of a spooky premonition. Let me start with that version now. Here is King Pleasure in 1953 with his vocalese version of Parker's Mood on Afterglow.
Come with me if you want to go to Kansas City. I'm feeling low down and blue, my heart's full of sorrow. Don't hardly know what to do. Where will I be tomorrow? Going to Kansas City, wanna go to. No, you can't make it with me. Going to Kansas City, sorry that I can't take you. When you see me coming, raise your window high. When you see me leaving, baby, hang your head and cry. I'm afraid there's nothing in Miss Creamy's dreamy town a honky-tonky monkey woman can do. She'd only bring herself down. So long, everybody. The time has come and I must leave you. So if I don't ever see your smiling face again, make a promise you'll remember, like a Christmas day in December, that I told you all through thick and thin, on up until the end. Parker's been your friend. Don't hang your head when you see those six pretty horses pulling me. Put a $20 silver piece on my watch chain, look at the smile on my face, and sing a little song to let the world know I'm really free. Don't cry for me, 'cause I'm going to Kansas City.
Has gone away and took my love with her. My woman just left today, and I'm surely gonna miss her. I got up this morning feeling happy, 'cause I thought today was gonna be so sunny, bright and gay all day for me. But when I looked around, lo and behold, I'll tell you what I found. My baby's closet was as bare as it could be, and she had wrote a note and left it for me. Lord, I'm so all alone. The note said, "Daddy, Daddy, I really hate to leave you, but I got to go, and I know it's gonna hurt you to your poor old soul. Oh, I like you 'cause you treated me so fine. I just couldn't keep pretending, feeling like I do. This being untrue just wouldn't be fair to you. So I'm leaving. Hope that you're not grieving too much. I'll come back. If you'll only say you'll help me, dear, to love you like I should, I promise I'll be good, my sweet. Just try to understand. I know you're for me, and I think we can be happy." Man, I took love so for granted, and I know I was wrong. Have mercy, baby, baby, have mercy on me. Lordy, help me find my Claudie and bring her home to me, 'cause I know she'll be as happy as can be when she finds that I just didn't know. And if she comes back home, I'll never let her go again. I promise I won't. She's sweet as she can be, and I am sure she means the whole world to me. Bless my soul if my baby ain't back home again.
Singer Eddie Jefferson in 1956 off of the James Moody album Flute in the Blues. That's his vocalese version of the 1948 Charlie Parker tune, Parker's Mood. Jefferson originally called that Bless My Soul when he wrote the lyrics to it in 1950. Before that, we heard Jefferson's vocalese rival, King Pleasure, with his own version of Parker's Mood, recorded in December of 1953. After Charlie Parker tragically died in 1955, many of the vocalese versions of his tunes became tributes to the man himself. Parker's own biography was a very common thread in these songs, turning them into both a musical tribute and a jazz history lesson at the same time. It's an interesting kind of musical hagiography that you really only find in jazz. One of the earliest vocalese tributes to Parker came from jazz singer Bob Dureau in 1956. He took Parker's tune Yardbird Suite, which we heard earlier in the hour, and turned it into an obituary for the uninitiated. Here's Bob Dureau in 1956 with his vocalese version of Yardbird Suite on Afterglow.
Hey, jazz fans! I sing this song hoping you'll all find out the man who wrote the Yardbird Suite. Leave you no doubt, tell you about Charles Yardbird Parker was his name, the fact. He carved his fame in history, a sax for his axe. His improvisation was miraculous, mastermind of rhythm was he. He blew notes that nobody'd ever heard before till then, blooms they'd never been. So often true as genius seems to do, he suffered his life through, but gave us the Yardbird Suite.
all because he never stopped blowing. When he had the miserable woes, he seemed to pour out his horn and make each person listening feel that he never known what being low down could be. He knew that blowing happy music going to set him free. He blew and blew and blew until he had the change. He's had the sound, he had him long before we heard him. He was just a boy in Kansas City, so pretty. After he came to New York town, all of the local jazz been listening in admiration. But long before his new sound swept round the nation, and Bird deserves the credit for the stimulating renaissance of jazz. It makes us very happy to announce a goodly portion of his best works recorded. Have a treat. Hurry right out and get yourself some Yardbird Sweet Blow. Listen to Bird.
Bob Durow from his 1956 album Devil May Care with his tribute to Charlie Parker and the vocalese version of Yardbird Suite. This kind of jazz hagiography of Charlie Parker was common in vocalese music, even when the song was not by Parker. For instance, you have this other Eddie Jefferson and James Moody song called Birdland Story, recorded in 1956, just a year after Parker died, where Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie are mentioned as regulars in the New York City nightclub Birdland.
I got a cab and went straight down to Birdland. The first one that I met there was Charlie. He was standing at the bar with Diz, having a little taste. They had time to waste. The rhythm section hadn't come in.
Birdland, that legendary jazz club, by the way, was named after Charlie Parker, whose familiar nickname was Bird. And then you have the Manhattan Transfer in 1979 with their song Birdland, a vocalese version of the song of the same name by the jazz fusion group Weather Report.
Yes, indeed he did.
Yes, indeed he did.
Yes, indeed he did.
Yes, he really did.
Yes, indeed he really did.
Yes, indeed he did.
Told the truth way down in Birdland.
Yes, indeed he did. Yardbird Parker played in Birdland.
Yes, indeed he really did.
John Hendricks of Lambert, Hendricks & Ross wrote the vocalese lyrics to that song, and Hendricks was a friend of Parker way back in the day. Our time together is winding down, so I won't have time to play many more vocalese versions of Charlie Parker tunes in full, but let's go through a whirlwind of several examples now, beginning with another one from the Manhattan Transfer and John Hendricks. They took Charlie Parker's 1953 recording of the tune Confirmation, heard here, and turned it into the song The Word of Confirmation, a Charlie Parker tribute on their 1981 album Mecca for Moderns.
I'm here to just confirm what I've been really always saying about modern jazz. It's the savior of the nation, and I'll believe it if you do too.
the rhythm and blues.
Like Bert, when he thought of this melody, the message he played on his horn was a steady confirmation that he discovered sound that makes the music be free.
This may sound unstable, but I know I'm able to concentrate and song with you.
My lyrics may go fast, sometimes I wouldn't get past folks, but so I keep it swinging.
I know I've got to stay true, so like the bird, I'm gonna say the jazz is always I have in his groove, so come on and I'll confirm it. Consider the bird that I heard, make a word of confirmation.
That was John Hendrick singing the scat solo. Confirmation was also turned into another vocalese song by Sheila Jordan. Jordan had met Parker in the 1950s when he performed in her hometown of Detroit. She even ended up marrying Parker's pianist, Duke Jordan. The lyrics here were written early in 1950 by Skeeter Spite and Leroy Mitchell, two Detroit musicians. Sheila Jordan recorded this on her 1975 album, also called Confirmation, and here in a live performance from 1991 on her album Better Than Anything.
Casting a light to you, well, the moon was shining bright, just one night, just like the time of I saw you. You set my soul on fire, my love, oh, I had you, and you had me too. Oh, babe, let's put our past behind us and live now. I know we can't be happy, dear, because I love you. Can't live without you, the future stands the reason I know. At first, it was a game, dear, to ease the hurt and pain, dear, until the pool got too deep. Oh, yes, it was falling. I started to swirl in a circle while you stood there just smiling. Your eyes were the thing that drowned me, and so I have to confess. I love you, and I want you, so baby, think it over, over. You are so terrific. I gotta be specific. So, baby, think as I'm saying my dream about you now.
In addition to Confirmation, songs that Charlie Parker worked on with trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie also got the vocalese jazz treatment. Take, for instance, the song known as Anthropology, first performed by Parker and Gillespie in 1945 under the title Thrivin' on a Riff. That was given a French vocalese treatment from the French vocal group Les Double Six, or the Double Six, alongside Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet in 1963. Or take the song Groovin' High, a Dizzy Gillespie tune that Charlie Parker and Gillespie made famous in 1945 with their recording. That was turned into a vocalese version by jazz singer Al Jarreau in 2004, off his album Accentuate the Positive.
Slow down a moment, we've been talking all day. What a wonderful story you're telling. You'll hear it if we stop the yelling. So honey, be silent and listen. Then I can whisper little things in your ear. Honey, be silent and listen. It's gonna whisper things that you wanna hear. Honey, be silent and listen. And when you've heard it and it's perfectly clear, define every meaning, cause I will be dreaming away.
This one is interesting because Jarreau includes a little snippet of the 1920 jazz standard Whispering within his recording.
Whispering while you come near me, whispering so no one can hear me. Each little whisper seems to cheer me. You know it's true, there's no one here but you.
This is a clever little quotation because Groovin' High was originally written as a contrafact of Whispering. And then there's the bebop icon Babs Gonzalez, the man who seemed to embody the entire bebop jazz movement. He did a vocalese version of the familiar Charlie Parker tune Ornithology called The Boss Is Back, turning it into a song about jazz cats selling rides in their Cadillac.
All the cats are standing on the corner, waiting for the chicks to finish their slave. They wink and holler, what you know, babe? I got a Cadillac if you want a ride. Baby, you look real pretty by my side. I'll take you where you want to go, as long as you have got the bread. There's nothing else that need be said. Run across the street and cash your paycheck. I'll be waiting here till you make it back. I couldn't move if I wanted to. I need some gas and babe, it's up to you. So if you think that you would like to be my Cinderella for tonight, when you get back here, do right.
That's just a few of the vocalese versions of Charlie Parker tunes that are out there, and there are likely many more that I'm either forgetting or have overlooked. I'll close off this Charlie Parker tribute with a track off of a 2017 Charlie Parker vocal tribute album. Now, I've referred to many of these Charlie Parker vocalese songs as jazz hagiography before, in a somewhat tongue-in-cheek manner, but the canonization and deification of Parker is on full display on this album. The title is The Passion of Charlie Parker, both referring to his passionate playing, but also turning his life and death into a kind of religious passion play. The tracks are all vocalese versions of Charlie Parker tunes, each telling a different story of his life, and each sung by a different, well-known vocal jazz singer, including Kurt Elling, Madeleine Peyrou, Candace Springs, Gregory Porter, and Melody Gardot. I'll play now the song on the album from Melody Gardot, which is a contrafact of the 1947 Charlie Parker tune Scrapple from the Apple. The new tune, called The King of 52nd Street, with lyrics by David Bearwald, is told from the perspective of Parker's common-law wife, Chan Parker. In it, she is describing her husband's rave reviews among the strip of popular jazz clubs in New York City. Here's Melody Gardot and saxophonist Donnie McCaslin with The King of 52nd Street on Afterglow.
Charlie, you really gotta see this. It was published in the Paris Review. They had a critic coming through. Charlie, they're saying you're the king of 52nd Street. And all the fools at Jimmy Ryan's don't pay any mind to what they say. You scare them silly when you play. Charlie, they're saying you're the king of 52nd Street. Goes on and on about you. Says you are the revolution wave. He says the world has never seen. Charlie, race me to the bed. I think our luck has finally changed. shouters and the shouters, they know they'd be running out of time. Deep down they all know that is true. Charlie, they know you the king of 52nd Street. And there's been every kind of trouble, from the knocks up to the poverty row. But now the sun is gonna shine. Charlie, you always been the king of 52nd Street. The city's singing hallelujah, with the chorus swinging 4x4. That song they're singing is for you, Charlie. They're singing for the king of 52nd Street.
From the 2017 album The Passion of Charlie Parker, that was singer Melody Gardot with The King of 52nd Street, a vocalese version of Parker's tune Scrapple from the Apple, told from the perspective of Parker's wife, Chan Parker. And thanks for tuning in to this Charlie Parker tribute on Afterglow. Afterglow is part of the educational mission of Indiana University and produced by WFIU Public Radio in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. The executive producer is John Bailey. Playlists for this and other Afterglow programs are available on our website. That's at indianapublicmedia.org/afterglow. I'm Mark Chilla, and join me next week for our mix of vocal, jazz, and popular song from the Great American Songbook, here on Afterglow.